Misunderstandings that cause us pain.
Is clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has stated Whoever recites Salat upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome back to our series of misunderstandings. I'm joined by my guest, Abdul Hanan Bhai, mashallah, from Birmingham. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Abdul Hanan?
Alhamdulillah, lovely. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. My dear viewers of Madhi Channel, we were discussing convincing parents, humbling ourselves towards our parents, making dua for parents. You know, this loving attitude with the parents and the children, how a mother and a father should have this sort of love with their children, and how the children should behave towards their mother and father. And inshallah, we will look at another dimension today with regard to young children who are still going to school. And sometimes, you're unwell and you get sick and you've got a bellyache or you've got a very bad headache and you just can't go to school. And your mom keeps waking you up. She keeps shouting, you need to go to school, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, your dad's waiting for you, he needs to drop you off. Or anything like this, where, the child is unwell or he tells his parents, but the parents, they don't believe him. So, and then sometimes what happens is they send the children to school and then the nurse at school, they check the child and then they send them back home. And then you have to come and pick them up. So, what should be done in this case? So how should the parents be understanding towards the children in this case, or should they be strict in this case? And if they don't go to school, the school contacts home and they say, why is your child not at school? And sometimes, we even find that children they say, "Dad, I'm sick. Mom, I'm sick." And then half an hour after, when they know that they're certainly not going to go to school now, then they're all okay.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's very interesting things to mention and speak about, because you're talking about young children going to school and their behavior. Like, it's not just with young children.
Okay.
You'll get with children who are older, children who are in universities or college, for example, they will be making excuses like this. And it's not even just with them. A husband and wife will be making excuses with each other like this before going to work. They're not in the mood of going to work. The wife is pushing the husband, no, you need to get to work, or we've got to pay off the bills, we've got to do this. You get that situation there as well at times. Right? They're not in the mood of it. So, there are many ways of looking at it. One is that, what we've been speaking about throughout these episodes is understanding, right? Understanding plays a big role in this. If you, from day one, had an understanding, you will know when the child or your partner or whoever is there, he's ill or he's not well. And you will know his nature, his tabiat. And sometimes, it happens so commonly. Right, you think, man, this person's only making a joke out of this, or he's only making this as an excuse. If you from day one built understanding, built trust, right, and if the parents had trust in the children, if the children had trust in the parents, this would not happen. Right, if they were to be following the deen, the sharia in the right way, you would not get these sort of misunderstandings and arguments and all these things falling apart. Sadly, because when we leave the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, when we leave the hukums of the Quran, you fall into this category and these problems occur. Right? If we were already from day one, if our household was according to the deen, according to the Sharia, we were living our lives following the examples of the Prophet you won't find anything like this happening. So anything, any misunderstanding is caused because of being far away from the teaching of the Prophet. Because Islam teaches you just truth. You know, the man who came to the Prophet and he says, I will embrace Islam, but he will not leave all his bad habits. And amongst them, bad habits was lying, fornication or adultery, and stealing or something like this. There were a number of habits. And he said that, I will only leave one bad habit out of all. The Prophet said, fine, embrace Islam and just leave lying. Leave the habit of lying, that's it. So that he became a companion of the Prophet and embraced Islam, right? And what he did was, he left the habit of lying. And when every time he went towards any of the other sins which he was going towards, whether he was theft, stealing, or fornication, or whatever he went towards, this thought would come into his mind when he will go back into the court of Rasulullah sallallahu and the Prophet sallallahu would ask him that, did you do this? And he would think to himself that, how would I able to answer Rasulullah sallallahu that I did this? Yes. How would I able to say that I did this? This is a wrong action. He knew it was wrong, but he said he couldn't leave it. So this thing would stop him from that. It stopped him from theft, it stopped him from adultery. All these actions he stopped because of what? Telling the truth. If parents were always telling the truth in front of the children, children were always mentioning the truth in front of their parents, you will not get this problem.
You know, sometimes you see in households is when for example, the father, the mother, they're at home and someone calls them and, you know, they tell the child, you know, pick up the phone and say, I'm not here. And the child
I like how you put this thing in today's time, right? You changed it, because in the old days, what it used to be, someone come knocking on the door and the father or the mother, they'll say, oh, tell them, dad's not home, mom's not home.
Right? So what they do is, you know, when they pick up the phone, they say, you know, mom or dad has said, you know, they're not at home.
They're not so this is actually teaching your children to lie. It's teaching them how to get away with things. And when they are observing this in first hand, right in front of their eyes, the father is telling him to lie, the child's going to think it's okay to lie.
Whenever an eye to get out,
right? Lying is the way out. Right? So, you know, if we all avoid lying, parents avoid lying, children avoid lying, and, you know, alhamdulillah, you won't have these misunderstandings. You won't have this problem where a father or a mother won't able to accept the fact that his child is ill or not. If you always told the truth. There was one brother who used to say, he was, alhamdulillah, the whole of Dawat Islami sometimes gives us a very strong mind and to make sure that we don't lie at all, no matter in what case. And alhamdulillah, it's built that in us. These are the teaching of Amilya Sunnat, Hazrat Ibu Ulan Muhammad Ilyas Qadri Damat Bukatul Aliyah. The efforts on this tarbiyat, alhamdulillah, it's brought us to able to get out of the habit of lying and to start telling the truth. This brother will say that, he goes, if I said to my wife that I got married again, she would believe me. Right? This was the level of how he was truthful, that he couldn't lie. So if this was, you know, even in his jokes, he would not lie. She would accept the fact that he's telling the truth.
You know, one thing is lying and one thing is making excuses. Sometimes we make excuses, but it's like we convince ourselves that it's not lying.
Yes.
For example, you know, a common example that someone's late to work and the boss asks him, why are you late? And he says, the bus was late. Well, in actual fact, the bus wasn't late.
It was him sleeping.
Yeah, it was him sleeping. He woke up late and so he missed his bus. And then, of course, the bus is going to be late. So he's convincing himself that this is the reason I'm late. But inside, you know, in his heart, he knows that he's just lied. And we find this phenomenon in children as well. And there's research done on this, that even if there is that tarbiyah, there is that upbringing of saying the truth, in this early age, the children do tend to lie. How should the parents react if they know the child is lying?
First of all, you should be asking that, how should you put into that child's mind to tell the truth? How should you get him to always telling the truth? That's what you should be asking.
Because maybe it's because sometimes parents, they do tell the child to say the truth, and then they say, look, if you tell me the truth, I won't say anything to you. And the child says the truth, and you know,
this is what I want you to come to, you know, because that's what happens. That's why you've sort of lied to me, and I won't say anything to him, right, or her, and then you end up doing saying things like that. And then this will break the child's trust. He will think that parents can lie on this, so I can lie too. So rather than telling me the truth, I think sometimes, you know, when parents put fear into the children, this makes them lie also. Rather than putting fear, put love.
Put love.
Right? If you're going to put fear into your child, your child knows that if I do this, I've had it. Right? And out of fear, he's got no other option than to tell you a lie. Then obviously he's going to lie.
Do you think it's especially the relationship between the mother and the father that plays a part in this? You know, keeping that balance between love and respect, and you know, that awe of the parents. Like, for example, if the father is always loving or the mother is always loving, you know, we discussed the aspect that the child will get spoiled. And if they're both on this side, that, you know, no, anger, then the child is going to become distant. And that balance is required. And do you think both parents, they play a part in this? Like the father should, you know, constantly remind his children about the rights of the mother, and the mother should constantly remind the child about the rights of the father. And you know, okay, not you know, completely fill their hearts with fear, but some sort of, you know, respect for the father and the mother. You know, if you don't do this, you know, your mom can get angry. Or if you don't do this, you know, your father can get angry. And then the father, of course, he should, you know, go ahead and show love, and the mother should go and show love. But just putting that at the back of the mind, instead of doing it, you know, for oneself, doing it for your spouse.
You know, I mentioned this in the previous episodes regarding instead of putting fear, through love you can build trust, and you can make them. You don't need to spoil them through love. No. And some people think love only spoils, but love also makes you obedient.
How?
The love of the Sahaba for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made them obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were ready to give their lives. They were ready to give all their wealth. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what did he do? Bought everything from his house. What was this? Love, right? So love made them obedient. Right? Love made them sacrifice everything. So it's not necessarily that love will spoil. It's spoiling is when you do it in such a way that it feels to the child that there is no boundary. Right? He thinks that anything can be done, and I can get away with everything, and I can be given everything. That is spoiling. But love, and then teaching them boundaries, teaching them obedience, teaching them all these things, you can still maintain love through that. So, you know, some people think that you have to be, to control your child, you have to be harsh. It's not necessarily to control your child, you have to be harsh. You can control your child through love. Right? It will make him obedient because of your level of love.
As a Muslim, do you think that this love, you know, even for our children, even for our parents, should come from the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For example, if a child loves his or her father or his or her mother, and they love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that Allah has, even though there's a natural tabi'i, you know, love for that, for the parents, but you know, purely for the sake of Allah, that Allah has made them my parents, and that's why I love, you know, out of taqalluf, and making yourself think that I love my parents because Allah has commanded me to look after them. And likewise the parents thinking that, you know, the children, I love them for the sake of Allah. Not, you know, because of course there's a natural love, but you know, pushing yourself to go the extra step to realize that this is actually from Allah, and it is because of that I love my children. And then I think what would happen with that is that, you know, you would prioritize not your personal self but the deen. Right. Sometimes you would find that parents, they really push their children to go to school. The child doesn't wake up for school, they're going to get furious. But you don't see the same for Salatul Fajr. You don't see the same for prayer. You don't see the same for them not fasting in the month of Ramadan. You don't see the same for, you know, if they're not giving their zakat or not fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and then, you know, when the child realizes that my father, he's only, or my mother, she's only doing it for their sake.
Mm.
They only get angry at me when I don't do something according to them. Then, you know, the child will feel like, you know, this is, it's their personal thing. But if the parents, they only become upset because, you know, there's a right of the deen that has been taken away, then I think that would place a sort of respect in the child for the parents and a respect for the deen. Like we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba, they said that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would never take revenge when it would be about himself.
Uh-huh.
And he would only do it if the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were jeopardized. Is this not a lesson for us?
Yes. Definitely, you know, when you would put the love of deen, or you will have the love of deen, is those parents will have the love of deen, or you put love of deen for your, in the hearts of your children. Because deen is the only thing which teaches you respect. You tell me which degree of university, college, which will tell you, which will teach you love for your respect for your parents. Which degree tells you that? No degree will tell you. What tells you that? It's the deen.
Deen.
Right? So again, all these misunderstandings are based because of being far away from the deen. Once you connect with this, your love for the deen, your loving Allah, loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be the main means, and then you will love the makhluk, the people, because of the love of the Creator, the love of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because that is true love. That love, it teaches the love for others. Right? The Sahaba ikram alim ridwan, these were those people. You know, you can say before embracing Islam, if you look at some of the seerahs of some of the companions, they lived a rough life. Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, right? But when he embraced Islam, that same Farooq Azam, what did he become? He became just, right? He became a person who would lower himself because of the deen, right? He will humble himself in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would humble himself in front of those who were right. He would defend those who were on the truth, on the haq. Right? And this was Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. He was that man who was once against Islam. Right? And when he embraced Islam, what he gained? He gained adl. He gained to be just. And he's known for his justice. What made him like that? The deen of Islam. Right? So alhamdulillah, when our love will be for Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that love will be something next level. That love, because I tell you, where actual love comes from is the love for the Creator. The love actually comes from the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole basis of love for the deen is the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is what softens you. That is what humbles you. That is what teaches you, makes you obedient to the Creator. If it wasn't love, you think you'll just be obedient just without love? It's very, very less likely. Love makes you obedient. The Sahaba ikram, what made them so obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing wudu, they wouldn't let a drop of water fall onto the ground? What made them obedient to catch the drops of water which was coming from the blessed mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in after performing wudu from it? The Sahaba, what made the Sahaba capture this water and rub it over their faces and not let a drop fall on the ground? What made them? This was the love for Rasul. This is the level of obedience which you cannot give an example of in the world. This level of obedience cannot be found anywhere else in the seerah of anyone else other than the Prophet ﷺ. Right? What was this? This was love. Love made them become so obedient that this became the everything. Right? So love is a key behind all this aspect. And you know, when one will have love, you will find obedience in this. So, you know, we can forget about the fact that, no, you have to be strict, you have to be harsh, you have to be rough. You tell me where you find harshness, strictness, this type of way from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will find narmi, softness, gentleness, love. This is, you will find this in the seerah of the Prophet. His smile, right?
Jiski taskeen se rote hue hans pade, us tabassum ki aadat pe lakhon salam.
Inshallah.
You know, from the habit of which, you know, the ones that were crying, they gained tranquility, may thousands and thousands of peace and salutations be upon that smile of yours, Ya Rasulullah. Subhanallah.
So, you know, we're talking about children, or the parents not trusting their children. If you put the aspect of deen into them, you can trust them, right? And sometimes you have to let it happen. Even sometimes, the aspect of seeing a fault in a child, you have to let it go to build that level of trust.
Okay.
Right? Because he's made that mistake. Maybe you make him realize it, but don't say it to him that you lied to me. Right? Make him realize it that you know what the truth was. But don't say to him you're lying to me. Right? Build that level of trust. You know, parents should have that. If a child is saying that I'm not well today, parents should believe. The reason, a very important thing here also, is sometimes it could be that something's happened to a child. Say, for example, child fell down in school, he's hurt himself. He comes home. He's not just going to school, he's coming and then going to madrasa as well. So he's come home, he's fell down in school, right? And if he falls down in school and he's hurt himself and he's come home and he says, Dada, Mom, I can't go to madrasa today. I can't go to the masjid today. I can't go to study today. I've fallen down in school, I've hurt myself, I'm not well. Instead of saying, oh, Mahanebana, you're making excuses, here say, let me see. When did you fall? How did you fall? You know, that comfort. Maybe that will take him out of his state and might make him, okay, Mama, I'll go madrasa. Because you've cared, you showed love, you shared your concern. But what happens is, like, making excuses. What was a little bump going to do? It could be that bump could be serious. That bump could be a means of him losing his life and it might put you to regret all your life. Right? So when a child says that he's not well, listen to him. Try to, you know, find what the problem is. Get to the root of the problem. Rather than thinking, no, you're making an excuse. When you will get to the root of the problem, you will be able to, inshallah, comfort him or bring ease to him. And half of his problem, his illness, might just go away with your comfort. Right? And it could be that same child might even, if he was one who was making excuse, but your comfort was such, I've seen that. You know, when you comfort someone like that, he says, okay, Mom, okay, Dad, I'm going to school. This is the reply you will get from children.
I know one parent, there's just another way that they would deal with the situation is that they would say, okay, go to school. No, I've got a bellyache. Okay, let's go to the doctor then.
This is common here. Let's go to the doctor. No,
I think I can survive.
you will get this. And this is again.
Checkmate.
Right? It's to scare the child in some sense.
Do you think that should always be done?
No, it should not always be done. Don't always scare them. Even Amir Sunnat Damat Bukatwala, he says, don't use, like, so, you know, like you say with children, oh, a beast is going to come, something's going to come, or something's going to pop in the dark.
Jinn is going to come.
Jinn's going to come, something's going to come in the dark,
yeah.
Or the dog's going to come, just to make your children afraid.
Yeah.
Don't do this, because you will make them weak.
You will make them cowards.
Right? You want to strengthen them. You want to make them strong. You don't want them to have fear in their hearts. Right? You want them to have courage. And these things will make them weak. So, and every aspect of these things, sometimes you have to take your children to hospital. When you're talking about taking your child to hospital, just remind me that, you know, sometimes when a child, sometimes if especially, well, in every case we should always listen, but if that child has never made an excuse and he's made an excuse once, that in every aspect that a parent should be thinking, okay, there must be something serious. This is that child who hasn't, haven't said anything wrong. Right? And today he's saying then that extra concentration should be on that sort of child. Because it could be that it might be your breaking point, that if you didn't listen to him that time, he will never say anything to you again. He will never share his feelings with you.
And he will take that for the rest.
He will take that for the rest of his life. So as parents, don't be like that. And for children, Sometimes, you know, it's like you can explain them in this way, that a child, you know, something we can bear, right? And a child should, even if he's not well at times, there are things which he can bear. A stomach ache sometimes can be so common, so easy, is what he said last night, right? And it's not much of a concern. He knows he's just been to the bathroom and he's not been well, and he can still bear or he can still cope with it. Then these sort of children should, rather than making an excuse every time, the times where they can't bear, at that time to say, look, I'm not well today, can I take a day off? Rather than I'm taking a day off. There is a difference. Can I take a day off or I'm taking a day off? Nowadays it's like hukum, it's order. I'm taking a day off, that's it, no matter what. I'm not going to school. I'm not well. I know you're not going to listen. this type of behavior is not going to help you as a child. And also another important thing here is you have to build that trust with your parents that they should know that my son is not going to lie. If as a child you've never lied in front of your parents, right? And then when you will say to them, I'm not well, your parents will be ready to listen to you. But if you're going to lie to them every time, they've caught you many times. Every time you lie, I didn't eat this, so you ate it. Or I didn't steal this, you stole it. Right? And they've caught you time to time again. You think they're going to believe you? They're not going to believe you. You must have heard the famous story about the boy who cried wolf. Right? And viewers of Madni Channel, they will all know of this story.
Yeah, more or less. It's all over the world as well.
Right? So it's that example that boy who cried wolf, right? Is that the boy, he basically would come out to with the sheep and he would herd them. And basically, he'll go back to his people. He thought, let's mock the people. So he'll say, no, a wolf came attacking the sheep. So all the people of the village came out, tried to find, and then they got there and he started to laugh. Oh, there's no wolf, I was just joking. So they listened to him once. He thought it was a good joke, so he'll try it again. He did it again the second time. The people came again thinking that maybe this time he's telling the truth. Then they came and he was joking, he was laughing. So they went back. Now the third time when he was crying out wolf, this time actually the wolf really had come. And these stories, you know, I don't know why we don't have stories like this, Topu. But these are lessons for children.
I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enable us to act upon this. Ameen. Jahi Nabi Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.